This morning we're in the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is in the Old Testament, so if you know where Isaiah is, it's right in the middle between Isaiah and Lamentations. There's 52 books in Jeremiah, so we're in the 18th chapter. This morning we're going to be looking at, of course, this talks about the potter and the clay, which is the same thing as God specializes in new beginnings. If you, as you read this chapter, you'll see that God tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house because he is in the process of making some pottery. Now, keep in mind, as God is saying this, God is the potter, okay? But he's telling Jeremiah, he's giving Jeremiah a message about the people of Israel. And this message is the same for us today in our day and time, in our world itself. Because God is concerned about the way that people live their lives, way nations look to him as a God of this creation, to follow him, his guidance, his word. And so when I read this, it's an excellent passage of scriptures to begin this year with, is because we know that God does specialize in everything that he does, and especially as we think about this new year, a new beginnings in our lives as we start this new year. So, if you'll follow along with me, I'll read beginning with verse 1 through 6, which says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my word to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. The word of the Lord came to me saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." So there we have it. As God is directing Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a prophet, he was a messenger, and God worked through messengers, he worked through prophets, he works through us today, and he gives us messages in a different way, not audibly, but through his word. And I'm always inspired by, when I read the scriptures, that not only did he speak to the prophets of that day, but he speaks to us. I mean, you don't have to just come speak to me and then, well, you go tell Vicky, or you go tell Nancy, or you go tell so-and-so what I want them to do, or this and that. No, he speaks to us individually. But here, we look in the Old Testament, God chose to speak to prophets because he chose them to be messengers. And their word still stands today as we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I want us to see some things in this text today, because God did direct Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and watch him make clay into a pot on the wheel. I don't know if any of you have ever watched people who deal with clay or make clay pots and so forth, how they shape and mold it and so forth. It has to be precise. It has to be, everything has to be just perfect as you're making pottery. And there was a reason for God telling Jeremiah to go down, because that message was going to be delivered through him to the people of Israel. So as Jeremiah watched, the potter discovered a flaw in the pot that he was shaping. And the potter pressed the clay into a lump, and it formed it into another pot. And again, God is the potter. He is the potter. And I want us to look at some things that this scripture is talking about. Some emphasis here in the introduction of this before we get to the main part of the message. Because our lives are not in an invisible force or a blind faith. They are in the hands of a person. And that person is the Almighty God. Israel was in the hands of Almighty God. And again, he chose Jeremiah to go to the people and say, you know, I want to bless you. I don't want to bring judgment upon you. I want to give you a new beginning. And the potter and the potter's wheel and making the clay and the pottery was an example of how God wanted to shape their lives. There were flaws in their lives. There's flaws in our lives. There's flaws in our nation. And there can be new beginnings in our nation. There can be new beginnings in our lives. And God is willing to shape us and mold us into something that is usable. And that's what he is telling Jeremiah here. So the person is, the potter, is God. So I wanted to point that out, that a person, the Almighty God, is our Heavenly Father. So he is not just our Creator, he is our Father. And he has a personal concern for our lives, and he is the potter. Again, in Isaiah 64:8, Isaiah even talks about that God is a potter and they are the clay, and he's wanting to mold them and make them into something great, a great nation. Now, clay can't mold itself, can it? It can't mold itself. So, only God has the power to guide our lives. Only God. You know, many others in nations or rulers or authorities may try to guide us in the direction, but only God has the power to guide us in the right way. He makes it clear in verses 6 through 10. I didn't read 7 through 10, but read that today sometime and you'll see how God did this. He makes it clear in verses 6 through 10 that he is the sovereign over all people. So we cannot be blessed if we argue with him or try or tell him what to do. Now, of course, this does not mean that God is to blame for the sins of men or the failures of nations. He is not. He is directing us through his word what is the right way, what is the right path. And he has the power and he has the authority over all nations. You know, we're under his guidance, we're under his care, we're under his protection. And so was Israel, and he was wanting to direct them. He didn't want to bring judgment upon them, but he wanted to bless that nation. Now, something else I see in this passage here that I just read, that God the potter has a perfect plan. He has a perfect plan for the clay. He sees the finished product in his hand. Now see, God sees into the future much further than what we can see. We can only see the now and right here, what's in front of us. But we can visualize as we trust God and as we read God's word and as we have learned in the past, as God directs and moves us in his direction, what we can become as we are, you know, the potter's clay, and he molds us and makes us into something good. Now, of course, we have flaws and so forth. And see, God said, okay, I can help you with that flaw. I can work that out of you. Just like as a potter was demonstrating for Jeremiah, and there, he found a flaw, so he had to reshape it. He had to remake it, because if he would have kept on, then something terrible would have happened to that potter. And looking into Israel's situation, if they continue in the way, in their flaws, then it was not going to be a good outcome for them if they hadn't trusted God fully with their lives. Now, we cannot see the finished product, but he promises us that it is wonderful. Now, God, who is a potter, patiently works the clay. Anything you've ever done, working with your hands, sometimes you got to be patient, right? If you rush it, you'll make a mistake, or it won't turn out the best. But God is patient. Aren't you glad God's patient with you? I'm glad he's patient with me. And like I've said before, I don't pray for patience anymore, because God will wear you out with them. So I just pray for the strength for the task to carry on and to follow his will. But, you know, he is patiently, and he works the clay tenderly, molding its shape. So he patiently directs our lives, seeking to fulfill his will. He wants us to fulfill his will. So your spiritual life can be a fresh, new start. How many of you feel like you need a fresh new start for 2022? Well, you know, we can work on that throughout the year, but nothing like starting fresh, starting anew, starting with a new commitment. Lord, I want to read the Bible more this year. I want to be a witness for you more. I want to be more understanding, and I want to be a better listener to your voice. I want to pray more. I want to seek you more. And I could go on and on and on, listen to things that we could be committed to and be faithfully doing, but we must start somewhere. And the things that we didn't accomplish last year and had a good intentions to do, we don't have to just stop there. We can say, okay, I'm going to do a better job this year. I want to fulfill and carry out what I started last year. Now I'll work on that this year. So this year, 2022. So for some, you know, it could be a need for salvation or more holy lifestyle or commitment. So that's what God is looking for in our lives. He wants a holy life. He wants us to live a righteous life. He wants us to be committed. And, you know, sometimes we can commit ourselves, but that commitment, sometimes we don't follow through with that. We start out good. Sometimes we're not good finishers. I remember when I ran track in high school, my coach would always say, you know, you always start good, and one thing you don't want to do, don't be looking back and see where everybody else is, or looking to the side. Keep your eyes straight and finish the course. Finish good. Start good, run the course good, and finish well. And I always kept that in mind, and I tried my best to do that. And I found that I did much better when I kept focused on what I was the goal, or any goal. You know, you know, you're here and your goal is out there. You keep your eyes on the goal, so when you finish, you will finish well, because that's your target. Now, as we look at The first thing here this morning, beginning again, is here, right here, where we are. So there's a place, a new beginning. Bless God that this place of beginning, again, is not far from anyone. You know, we think, it's way out there. It's out of my reach, but God never puts anything out of our reach. He puts it right close to us so that we won't become discouraged or lighthearted, that we'll stick to it. So you may be willing to travel far, a great cost to find a place to begin again. God, in His infinite wisdom, provides a plan. And His plan is right here in the Word. So He brings the opportunity to start over right to your very heart. That's where it all begins. And it puts no price or privilege of entering that mode. So God provides a door. He provides a door of opportunities for each one of us. The way to begin again, this door is open to anyone who will enter it. And John chapter 10, verse 9 says that He is the door. And anyone that enters that door, He will bless. Now, God offers a lost person, or He offers a backslidden Christian the opportunity to begin again. You know, oftentimes in the past we've had revivals, and revivals is a time to renew your spiritual relationship with the Lord. But you know what? You don't always need revivals to do that, or you don't need someone to tell you that. It's the Holy Spirit within our lives telling us, okay, you can renew, you can restart, you can start afresh and anew in your relationship. And the reason we need new starts and new beginning is because we can become complacent sometime in our relationship with the Lord, thinking, okay, I'm saved and I know it, and I'm in good hands. But that commitment goes much further than just that. We must commit, okay, Lord, I'm going to do my best in serving You. I'm going to do my best in telling others about You. I'm going to be committed in whatever place You put me within the church and within the ministers of the church. Wherever You place me in society or in my community, I'm going to do my best to be a good representative of who I am and who You are through my life. That's a beginning, and that's the area of our life which God wants to work. Now, God offers a lost person and a backslider a new beginning. Okay, beginning again is now. Not only if it's here, but it's right now. Right now is the time. Many believe that they will make a new beginning or a new start sometime. And we know how that is, don't we? Okay, I will do it sometime, on down, later. But sometimes that never happens. I shared, I don't know, some time ago about a student that I was with, went to school with at seminary, that he was always thinking that he was going to do this and that and everything. And I interviewed him one time because of a course I was taking. And I said, Randy, I said, do you have any shortcomings, or is there anything that you'd like to change? And he said, because I was interviewing him and having to take notes about that so that I could use that and implement that into the document I was doing. He said, yeah, Mike, there's one thing that I need to really work on really, really bad. And I said, what's that? He said, procrastination. I said, really? And I said, what are you doing about it? He said, well, I bought 3 books, and I'm to read on procrastination. So I said, well, how are you doing? He said, I don't know. I hadn't started yet. I keep putting it off. So that was an area in his life that he had to work on and get done. So after that interview, I never did check back with him to see if he read the books or not. But that's what we do. We plan ahead. We think, okay, this is what I want to do at some point in time in my life. And it's hard, isn't it? If we don't just say, okay, I know I got to do it. Right now is the time to start. Right now. And that's what God wants us to do in our lives. He wants us to start now. So, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 and 2. And I think this is perfect scripture for us this morning. It says, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Okay? That's what Paul is saying. Don't receive it in vain. And in verse 2 he says, Paul does, for he says, at the acceptable time, I listen to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, we can say, okay, that might be speaking to a lost person. That can be speaking to any of us. You know, God says, work out your salvation. And we are to do that day by day. We aren't to say, oh, sometime I'll work out my salvation. But it's not working out our salvation to be saved. But it's working out our commitment, continuing our commitment that we started back whenever we were saved. And we continue to increase that and be more motivated and mature in our relationship with the Lord. So that is working out our salvation day by day. And whether we start anew and afresh each year, that should continue on throughout that year. It shouldn't become to the point that we become complacent again and said, oh, I wore myself out trying to do this. Well, we can't do it on our own. We have to have Christ leading us and giving us strength and giving us the steadfastness to keep on keeping on. Now, there's no better time for beginning than at the beginning of the new year. You know, in the middle of the year, we think, well, it's too late to start now. Well, start now. Start here, start now, and you'll see the difference. So, as you examine your life in the light of the closing year, you think of resolutions you attempted and failed last year. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up of hope, because God gives you all the opportunities to make things right. If you understood what I was saying a while ago, he is very patient. If he wasn't patient, he would already come, I think. The second coming had already happened. But he's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone have eternal life. That every Christian not give up hope, but to persevere and endure to the end, whatever that might be. Too many people say, well, you know, I've been hearing this year after year after year, and it hasn't happened. So, but now is the right time to begin with God. Why? Because, finally, God honors those who desire to begin again. For example, quickly, the Apostle Paul, or Apostle Peter, first of all, made a good beginning with loud promises. You know how Peter, as I said, Lord, I'm always with you. I'll do whatever you say. I'll even die for you. And he did. And he yielded to outward pressures. Then suddenly he realized his failure, and then he shed bitter tears. And when he did that, that was a new beginning for him. And he knew that he was marred, but God made him over again. And though Peter, obedient, he loved God. He really did. Peter began again and reshaped, and God reshaped him throughout the rest of his life because Peter was committed to the course. All right, and then let's look at the Apostle Paul. These are great examples of those who had to restart and have new beginnings, because the Apostle Paul, he was determined in a way of persecution. He thought he was doing right, but he had given his very life to a passionate religion, and all the preparation he did, and was going persistently with a great determination in the way that he had chosen for himself, but not God, okay? So, suddenly, as that the light of Christ shone upon his inner man, he was caused to see his mistakes that he was making. And then he yielded to the master's hand, and God made him over again. He changed his life completely, and the Apostle Paul, or Saul at that time, he changed his name to Paul because he had a new focus, a new vision for Paul, and he fulfilled that. Paul was all in after that. So you see, it can happen. It happened to some of the most ordinary men that God did extraordinary things through their lives. Okay, in our conclusion here this morning, you and I must realize that God created us for his own purposes. He did. And our usefulness comes from being in his hands. Just as God told Jeremiah, you go down and to the potter's house and see what he's doing. And this is a symbol of what I want for the nation of Israel. And in the same way, that's what he wants for our lives as well. So, before our clay is in the hands of God, who is the master, it is simply a lump, not good for anything. We're not good for anything, but once God has worked it and shaped it, it becomes his masterpiece. We become his masterpiece. All we got to do is be willing to let him mold and shape us. There's a song, mold me, use me, make me what you want me to be. We can make that commitment. Each and every one of us personally make that to the Lord this morning. And I urge you simply to do that, starting here, now, and God will do extraordinary things in our lives if we're willing to do that this new year. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the message that we have heard this morning from your word. It's not my words, it's your words. And we stand up here Sunday after Sunday as we have studied and as we interpret your scriptures to best portray what you're wanting each one of us to do. You want to shape our lives. You want to use our lives. And as we're committed to do that, then, Lord, we'll see great results. As this being the first Sunday of 2022, Lord, help us say, Lord, I commit, I recommit, I renew. I want a new beginning. And Lord, you will see us through. Reading your word is very encouraging. Following your word is a blessing. And we see great results. Whatever the situation is here this morning for each one of us, whatever the calling is in our life, may we say yes to your invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to